When you close your eyes and, picture the ultimate evolution of humanity, what do you see? I mean, usually it's something out of a glossy sci-fi movie, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's always metal implants or neural laces, like minds uploaded to some cold, glowing server farm.
Everything is just silicon wire and code.
Right, because our prevailing vision of the future is incredibly mechanical. We tend to view progress as, something external that we attach to ourselves.
Like downloading an update for your phone.
Exactly.
Right.
Rather than something fundamental shifting from within. It's this very binary, hardware-centric view of evolution.
But what if that whole sci-fi vision is just entirely backwards? Like, what if the actual blueprint for our evolution isn't built on silicon at all?
Well, that is exactly what we're getting into today.
Yeah, today we are completely reframing transhumanism. We're exploring a mind-bending alternative perspective on the future of humanity, AI, and really the very nature of reality itself.
And we're looking at a deeply complex framework today. We're drawing primarily from notes and excerpts based on Pravir Melek's work,
Right.
specifically focusing on a cosmology of light and this fascinating mathematical exploration from the book Triumph of Love.
The mission for you listening today is to just let go of the idea that uploading your mind to a computer is the peak of human potential.
Yeah, leave the server farm behind.
Exactly. Instead, we're going to explore how the speed of light, quantum mechanics, and a deeply structural concept of love might actually be the true mechanisms for our evolution.
It is quite a ride.
Okay, let's unpack this because, I mean, where do we even begin with a cosmology that claims the universe is made entirely of light?
Well, we have to start by completely redefining how we understand light itself. In this specific framework, reality is entirely dictated by the speed at which light travels.
Okay, but normally you and I think of the speed of light as a strict physical constant, right? Like
Yeah.
roughly 186,000 miles per second.
Right. But the author asks us to conceptualize the native state of light, a state where it travels at a mathematically infinite speed.
Wait, I want to make sure we are really grasping the scale of that. Infinite speed, not just zooming across the galaxy in a microsecond, but literally infinite.
Yeah, infinite. And when you introduce infinite speed to a system, the basic laws of physics as we experience them, they just completely dissolve.
Because it breaks all the rules.
Exactly. Think about the mechanics of it. At an infinite speed, light requires zero time to travel from point A to point B.
Zero time, so it is instantaneously everywhere.
Yes, there is no travel time, which means there's no distance. And because it's everywhere at once, it simultaneously processes and knows everything that's happening.
Wow.
And because nothing can outpace it or exist outside of its bounds, it inherently overpowers everything. And
Right.
finally, because it instantly connects every single point in space to every other point, it creates this absolute unbroken unification.
I mean, to make this relatable, it's a bit like a video game, where the entire map, every single NPC, the weather patterns, and all the backend code are rendered instantly.
Yeah, rendered all at once everywhere.
Right. There's no loading screen, there's no fog of war hiding the next level. The entirety of the universe is just present, perfectly all at once.
That's a great way to picture it. Though, a video game is still housed on a finite physical server.
Sure, yeah.
In this framework, the server is the infinite speed of light itself. And the text assigns four distinct properties to this infinite state.
Okay, what are they?
First is presence, simply because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Second is power, because it overcomes all limitations. Third is knowledge, because its omnipresence means it knows all.
And the fourth.
Fourth is harmony, because it inextricably connects everything into a single fabric.
Yeah.
When you combine those four, presence, power, knowledge, and harmony, in a state of infinite speed, the text defines this as a UPI-type being.
A UPI type being, which stands for ubiquitous point instant. Yeah.
Exactly. Ubiquitous point instant.
Meaning it is everywhere, in every point, in every instant.
Yeah, that is the foundational baseline. It describes a reality of total infinite perfection.
Okay, I have to step in and push back on this premise, though, because if reality is intrinsically built on infinite light and this native state is perfectly unified and
You're
harmonious,
going to ask why things are so messy.
yes, why am I, sitting in bumper to bumper traffic? Why is there disease? Why is our world physical and heavy and bound by decay and time?
It's the obvious question.
Right. If the absolute baseline of the universe is infinite perfection, why is human existence just so incredibly fragmented?
Well, that friction, is exactly what the text addresses next. It explains the creation of our physical universe not as some explosive accident, but as an intentional deceleration.
Deceleration, like slowing down.
Exactly. What we typically call the Big Bang was actually light slowing down. It shifted from that infinite speed down to the finite speed we observe today.
At 186,000 miles per second.
Right, which we denote as...
So you are saying the Big Bang is literally just light hitting the cosmic brakes.
Hitting the brakes is what generates reality as we know it. By slowing down to a finite speed, light creates a vastly different layer of existence.
Okay.
The text categorizes this as the U-type, or untransformed layer. Consider the actual mechanics of a finite speed now.
Like the fact that it takes time to travel?
Yes. Because light now takes, say, 8 minutes to travel from the sun to the earth, there's a delay. That delay instantly creates a past, a present, and a future.
Wow, I never thought about it like that.
You now have time.
So if it takes time to get from point A to point B, you've essentially just invented history and the future.
Right.
And if it's not everywhere at once anymore, it has boundaries. So you've just invented physical space.
Exactly. And you have invented matter.
Wait, how does matter come into it?
Well, because the energy is no longer instantly ubiquitous, it clumps together. It cools, it condenses, and it becomes the heavy physical stuff we interact with.
So our universe, this untransformed U-type layer, is constructed from the exact same infinite properties of light.
The exact same ones, just drastically slowed down so they can be experienced as distinct matter moving through linear time.
Okay, but if we have these two completely different realities operating at different speeds, we have the UPI-type realm of infinite speed and our slower U-type realm of matter, they can't just exist in total isolation, right?
Right, because then nothing would interact.
Yeah, if they're isolated, then all that infinite potential is trapped behind an impenetrable wall.
Mm.
How does the code of the infinite actually reach my physical reality?
The interface between those layers is what we call quanta.
Like quantum physics, quanta.
Yeah. But in this cosmology, quanta aren't just tiny, random subatomic particles bouncing around. They serve a very specific structural purpose.
Okay.
They act as a doorway. Quanta are the mechanism that actively gathers the infinite possibility from those faster-moving layers of light, and they precipitate it into our slower world.
Precipitate it, meaning they materialize it. So they basically act like cosmic translation software. They're taking the infinite code, filtering it down through the speed limit, and compiling it into physical laws we can touch and measure.
That is a perfect analogy. They are the bridge translating those four original properties of light into our world.
Presence, power, knowledge, and harmony.
Right. The text argues that when those properties cross through the quantum doorway into our slow universe, they materialize into the fundamental physical laws of our reality.
Wait, really? Like what laws?
They literally become the quadrumvirate of space, time, energy, and gravity.
Are you saying space, time, energy, and gravity aren't just random physical forces, but they map directly back to those four infinite properties?
Yes. The text makes a direct mathematical correlation between them. And what's really fascinating is that it scales this mechanism all the way up from astrophysics down to cellular biology.
Cellular biology, like our bodies.
Yeah. If you look at the fundamental components of a living cell, the author finds the exact same fourfold pattern expressing itself.
Okay, lay that out for me. How does a cell map to light?
Well, think about lipids. They form the membrane, right? They hold the cell together, which relates directly to harmony.
Oh, I see.
Then you have polysaccharides, which store and provide energy. That relates to power.
Okay, making sense.
Proteins are the structural building blocks, so they relate to presence. And nucleic acids, like DNA, which holds the information.
That relates to knowledge.
Exactly.
That is just staggering to think about. I mean, it implies we aren't just these biological machines made of dead matter. The cells in our bodies are essentially slowed down light, constantly trying to express those original infinite properties.
Which introduces the next layer in this taxonomy, what the text calls the P-type being.
Okay, so we had UPI type, U-type, and now P-type.
Right. Humans, along with atoms and biological cells, are classified as P-type beings. The P stands for partial singularities.
Partial meaning we are incomplete.
Yes, we are fundamentally incomplete. We are on an ongoing evolutionary journey.
Right.
According to this framework, as a P-type being, you are experiencing a persistent quantum-level computation that dictates your genetic and material reality.
So you're constantly iterating.
You are. You're trying to bring more of that infinite potential through the quantum doorway into your physical form.
So we are essentially biological processors. Like, we are biographies of light actively being written and rewritten at the quantum level.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we aren't just biological accidents. We are light precipitating into form, iterating to regain our original infinite potential, just doing so within a material body.
Man, okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because if our entire biological purpose is to compute this underlying light and evolve back toward infinite potential,
yeah.
Why are we currently so obsessed with outsourcing our evolution to silicon? We have to talk about artificial intelligence.
It is the dominant conversation right now.
It really is.
Yeah.
So is AI the next logical step in this evolution of light?
The source material offers a definitive no on that. It completely rejects the popular Silicon Valley notion that AI is the pinnacle of our evolutionary trajectory.
Really? It totally rejects it.
Totally. The text categorizes artificial intelligence, computer programs, and even purely mechanical constructs like 3D printed objects as D-type beings.
B-type. What does the D stand for?
It stands for derivative beings, or fragmented singularities.
Derivative? I mean, calling an advanced neural network derivative sounds like a bit of a cosmic burn. Why does the author classify AI as fragmented?
Because it lacks the structural mechanism we just discussed. A P-type being like you or me has a continuous structural integrity extending deep into those antecedent layers of light.
Right, we have that quantum interface.
The doorway. Exactly. We have a biological quantum interface with the infinite. AI has absolutely no such connection. It exists purely in the severed superficial material layer.
So it's totally cut off.
Yes. The author actually models AI mathematically as existing on what's called a C sub-zero substrate.
C sub-zero, meaning a substrate where the speed of light is essentially zero.
That is the mathematical model, yeah. And think about the mechanical implications of zero speed based on the logic we've established.
Well, if infinite speed creates total connection, omniscience, and omnipresence, then zero speed would create absolute isolation, right? Darkness, ignorance, chaos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because AI operates on this C sub-zero substrate, it treats space, time, and energy merely as independent, fragmented variables to be manipulated.
It doesn't see the big picture.
Right. It does not recognize them as deeply meaningful emergent properties of a unified light. Therefore, it completely lacks implicit order.
So it's fundamentally missing the underlying code of the universe. I mean, it's like taking a plastic 3D printed apple and expecting it to grow an orchard.
That is a great visual.
Right. Like, it might look exactly like an apple on the outside, and you might even program it to simulate rotting or falling, but it is completely delinked from the soil.
Delinked from the water, the sunlight.
Yeah, the entire evolutionary history of the forest. It has no actual seeds of infinite possibility inside it.
The aesthetics of the 3D printed apple might fool you, but it lacks the physics of growth entirely. And this raises a massive question about the infrastructure we're currently building for our society.
Which is largely built on AI now.
Right. The text warns that if we build our future exclusively on D-type beings, if we rely on severed fragmented AI to guide human progress, it will inevitably lead to increasingly random and chaotic combinations.
Because it's building on a foundation of zero speed.
Without that quantum connection to the harmonizing properties of infinite light, the only possible outcome is entropy.
It just falls apart.
Exactly. You end up with a highly complex system that ultimately breaks down because there is no fundamental cosmic gravity holding it together from the inside out.
Okay, I can hear our listeners pumping the brakes right now. Because we started with the mathematics of light speed, we moved into quantum interfaces and AI substrates.
And now things get a little different.
Yeah, now the text introduces the solution to all this entropy, and it calls that solution love. That sounds like a massive leap from theoretical physics into pure poetry.
It does sound like a leap.
How does the author mathematically bridge the gap between hard science and, like, a greeting card concept?
Well, it sounds poetic until you look at how strictly the text defines the term. In this framework, love has absolutely nothing to do with romance, emotion, or sentimentality.
So we aren't talking about Valentine's Day here.
Not at all. It is defined as a hardcore, physical, and cosmic force. Remember that light in its native state is perfectly unified.
Right. The infinite speed keeps it all together.
And as it decelerates and materializes into physical stuff, that unity shatters into separate pieces.
Okay.
Love is defined as the active dynamic, the literal cosmic gravity that constantly pulls those fragmented material pieces back into a cohesive, integrated whole.
Oh, wow. So when individual cells spontaneously cooperate to form a complex multicellular organism, that biological drive is an act of love. Because it is a structural force unifying fragmented pieces into a greater whole.
The mechanism of unification is love. And the ultimate goal of human evolution, rather than merging with machines, is to become what the text calls an S-type being.
Yeah.
Or the second singularity.
S-type. Let me recap real quick. So we've had UPI for infinite, U for untransformed matter, P for humans as partial, D for derivative AI, and now S-type for the final goal.
Right. The S-type is a material cum cosmic being. It represents a state where a human being perfectly integrates all those layers of light.
How does it do that?
Well, horizontally, they balance presence, power, knowledge, and harmony in their material actions.
Mm-hmm.
And vertically, they remain totally open to the infinite potential pouring through that quantum doorway.
Which the text describes as the ultimate triumph of love, right?
Yes, because it represents the physical universe finally reintegrating with its infinite source.
Okay, that clarifies the physics of it. But pragmatically, how does a person actually achieve that? Like, do we just sit back and wait for a million years of biological evolution to do the heavy lifting?
No. The author argues it requires highly conscious participation. To accelerate this evolution, the text proposes 12 mathematical operators.
Mathematical operators for human behavior. That sounds wild.
They act as cognitive and behavioral frameworks. They're designed to shift your perception of reality, disrupt your limiting physical habits, and actively pull that faster-moving light into your daily life.
And they're grouped by the four properties of light, right?
Yes. Let's look at presence, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Under presence, you find operators like fullness and equality.
I looked at these, and the logic is just striking. The practice of fullness means recognizing that every single point in space and time contains a full potential of that infinite light.
Right.
And if you genuinely perceive that every point has fullness, then you have to apply the operator of equality.
And what's fascinating here is how a theoretical physics concept forces a behavioral shift.
Yeah.
If you apply the mathematical operator of equality, it structurally alters how you interact with every person and challenge you face.
Because you're actively recognizing the infinite quantum potential seated within them.
Exactly, rather than judging their fragmented exterior.
Then you have power-based operators like fractal and intersection. The text's definition of intersection was a massive light bulb moment for me.
It's a really powerful reframing of adversity.
Yeah, it describes it as a phenomenon where an organization or a person is forced to shift to a higher level of complexity due to the shock of interacting with other circumstances.
Right. You don't evolve when things are stagnant.
No. You evolve when you collide with a massive challenge. Yeah. And that shock forces your internal structure to level up and integrate more power.
The friction of the U-type world literally becomes the catalyst for growth.
So cool.
And then under knowledge, the text introduces operators like flowering. This is the principle that any boundary or limitation you encounter intrinsically holds more potential than the state that preceded it.
Meaning the limit itself contains the knowledge for the breakthrough.
Precisely. And finally, under harmony, you have operators like linking. This is the conscious practice where you bypass your immediate material constraints and actively link your current situation to that underlying light.
And the claim is that as we actively use these cognitive operators, we physically mutate. Our partial singularity evolves.
Yes.
And this brings us to a detail in the text that I found just absolutely brilliant. The author doesn't just say we change. He talks about the modulation of mutation.
Mapping our stages of development to literal mathematical constants.
Yes. Okay, break that down for us.
The author models our mutation through these stages, using specific mathematical constraints, showing how we break through progressively more expansive rule sets.
Okay.
For instance, he argues that our base physical behavior is tightly governed by pi.
Okay, so let's translate that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about pi. It is the ratio of a circle. It represents a perfectly closed loop. So in behavioral terms, if we are operating purely physically, we're just running laps on a track. We're stuck in a rigid, repetitive loop of basic biological survival, like just eating, sleeping, repeating.
Exactly. But then as we evolve, our vital behavior, our emotional drives, our ambition, our desires, that gets modulated by Euler's number, E.
Right. In mathematics, E is the base of natural exponential growth. It never loops back. It just accelerates outward.
And behaviorally, that perfectly maps to the vital stage of human development. It's our drive to aggressively expand, consume resources, conquer the environment.
Just constantly pushing outward.
Yes. Then you reach our mental behavior, our capacity for logic and reasoning, which the text argues is modulated by the Gaussian distribution, G, or the bell curve.
Which is exactly what the human mind does. I mean, it desperately wants to categorize the chaos of reality into rational curves.
We want to label things as normal or outlier.
Safe or dangerous, right or wrong, it's all bell curves.
But the text argues that if we want to break through and become that S-type being, the second singularity, we cannot remain trapped by the closed loop of pi, the aggressive expansion of E, or the strict categorization of G.
We have to move past all of them.
Yes. To unlock true creative force, we have to integrate those stages and ultimately allow our mutation to be modulated by C, the speed of light itself.
So we basically replace the limitations of physical, vital, and mental habits with the pure, boundless creativity and integration of infinite light.
Exactly.
It's an entire paradigm shift for how a human being operates inside the material world. So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
It's the big question.
Right. Maybe you're prepping for a tech strategy meeting tomorrow, or maybe you're just, you know, trying to wrap your head around the massive societal boom in artificial intelligence. This framework offers an incredibly profound reminder.
It really reminds us that our biological reality is not a limitation to be overcome by machines.
Exactly. Your biological, conscious, and sure, sometimes messy connection to the universe isn't a bug in the system that needs to be patched with silicon.
No, it's actually your ultimate evolutionary advantage.
You have a deep structural quantum connection to infinite potential that simply cannot be replicated by severed derivative code.
That really is the core takeaway here. Critical thinking regarding our technological future is just essential right now.
Absolutely.
As a society, we have to be incredibly careful not to build our infrastructure on a foundation of fragmentation, entropy, and derivative singularities.
Yeah.
We cannot expect true advancement to emerge from a C sub-zero substrate. Sustainable evolution has to be built on integration, wholeness, and a conscious connection to the deeper layers of reality.
Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. The text hints at this emerging concept of supermatter. We've established that you are a P-type being. Your genes and your material reality are not static. They are constantly being rewritten by quantum-level computations based on your conscious aspirations and your interaction with the environment.
It's a continuous process.
Right. So if that is true, is it possible that your very next deliberate choice matters on a quantum scale?
It's a huge thing to consider.
If you actively choose to apply the operator of equality, or if you choose to act out of love, not as a fleeting emotion, but as the structural harmonizing force of the universe, is it possible that your choice is literally physically altering the foundational physics of your own body?
This framework strongly suggests that our daily conscious choices are the literal mechanisms driving our quantum evolution.
So perhaps it's time we stop staring longingly at the cold, glowing servers and, you know, start looking back at the light. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.